From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Exxon Podcast, Chase Palm, Neil McCready discussing things as Ole Miss wraps up its 2017 season. Also wrapping up the Egg Bowl win, beating Mississippi State 31-28 in Starkville. Had a lead for, I guess, all night, really. They scored on a couple plays into the game, held that lead the rest of the way. Nick Fitzgerald suffers a gruesome leg injury early on. It kind of helped Ole Miss, catapulted them to the win. Defense really locked in on Keaton Thompson, and Ole Miss put together pretty good things offensively at times, really due to big plays and a 100-yard effort out of Jordan Wilkins. So Ole Miss suddenly has won the Egg Bowl 4 out of the last 6 years. They send Matt Luke's interim stint off on a high note, Neil, and as we are writing today, it is it's an interesting deal. Head coach search now fully in effect. That begins this instant without a game to pursue. And also, as you are writing as well tonight, even tonight in the loss and the actions, State kind of had this coming.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote this, and by the time I guess you hear this, you'll have seen the column or whatever, and there's no way to write it where it makes sense and it doesn't look like State kind of deserved to lose. Not the game, if that makes any sense. They deserve to lose in this rivalry tonight. The game changed completely. The tone, frankly, changed when Fitzgerald got hurt. I thought the tone of the game got less chippy. Some people probably looked at it and said, you know, this isn't what we had in mind. And there were a few people out there, I think the tweets have since been deleted, that it was a cheap shot. It wasn't a cheap shot. Nobody on Ole Miss was trying to hurt anybody. People were playing a physical game. I think it was DeMarcus Gates was diving to stop Nick Fitzgerald in the open field right about the same time that Breland Speaks got to him. It was very similar to the Gordon Hayward injury for the Celtics earlier this year in the NBA season. So, first of all, best wishes to him. Hopefully it's a full recovery. It wasn't, I mean this respectfully, it wasn't so catastrophic that they had to rush him into surgery. He was able to be on the sideline with his team for the rest of the game. So good luck to him as he goes forward. But this atmosphere around this rivalry, I've covered it for 10 years now. It's awful. The pregame stuff, the fights, the chippiness, the people having to divide people. You don't see that in every normal game. You don't see that in a lot of rivalries. Michigan and Ohio State will play each other Saturday, and that probably won't happen. Alabama-Auburn will play each other Saturday, and I'm almost willing to guarantee it won't happen. Georgia-Georgia Tech, it won't happen. There's no reason that Ole Miss and Mississippi State should be this nasty.
Malicious.
It's a rivalry that right now is known for a couple of idiots in the media. Leo Lewis, lawsuits, and an NCAA investigation that frankly never should have gotten to this place. Washington Post stories about Steve Robertson as the guy that took Hugh Freeze down. No, the guy that took Hugh Freeze down is Hugh Freeze. I mean, you know, congratulations. You discovered a phone call to a masseuse. Breaking news, Steve. Ole Miss was looking for a reason to get the hell out of a $17 million buyout. I've watched a national reporter throw his career away over this in the last year. I just think the rivalry is out of control. I've tweeted about it. I talked about it for a year. If I were Ole Miss tonight, I would have left the trophy sitting there. They didn't. It's too emotional. I get it. Telling A.J. Brown, a Starkville native who has taken God only knows how much hell, don't go get that trophy. I wouldn't want to be the guy that told him don't go get the trophy. But at some point in this chase, because this isn't over. The game's over. So now, any day now, the sanctions come down. And shortly thereafter, if not immediately thereafter, there are going to be reports in the media about what happened in Covington. And it is a terrible look for Leo Lewis. And it's a terrible look for Dan Mullen. And it's a terrible look for Mississippi State. It's not going away.
Ole Miss is likely going to have a new coach. They're for sure going to have somebody to permanently replace Hugh Freeze here in the coming weeks. It's very possible that Dan Mullen has coached his last game at Mississippi State. Maybe he's staying. Maybe he's not. I don't know.
I would say it's likely.
Point being, though, does this thing chill out a little with new leadership on both sides from a head coach standpoint? Is that really kind of what this took is for the current – or not the current, but the eras of when both teams improved – to move on for it to de-escalate?
Well, John Cohen and Ross Bjork issued a press release, a joint statement this week, and a lot of people scoffed at it. But at the time, I kind of thought to myself, well, you know, this could be the beginning of something, because at some point people have to dial this down. So maybe it's the beginning of something. Maybe when there's new coaches and all the Freeze is gone and Mullen's gone and everybody says, hey, we're just killing ourselves here. Maybe people, cooler heads prevail. I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine that right now with Mars and Robertson and some of the people on the Ole Miss side, frankly, and all the rhetoric about snitches get stitches and all that crap. Just on and on. It's got to stop at some point. People have to address it. I'll say this real quick. Matt Luke talked about it some. Matt Luke's tenure as the interim head coach is over. He did one hell of a job. Not just on the field, but off the field. Tonight, I thought he did a pretty good job of keeping his team fairly calm, because they walked into a snake pit, and it would have been very easy to completely lose their composure before the game. And they did lose some composure at the end of the game. Breland Speaks got kicked out, throwing a punch in the fourth quarter, which was stupid. But Matt did a really good job. There were really no off-the-field problems to speak of. His team played hard. They overcame three really difficult losses, kind of kept coming back. It's to Matt's credit. He's going to get interviewed for the job. I don't personally think he's going to get the job. I've never thought that. I think they're going to try to go infuse some excitement and enthusiasm into the program. The support for Matt is not widespread. It's local. It's the hardcore. And that's great, but you can't win. You can't fill up a stadium with just that. You've got to excite people. So he did a hell of a job. He's no longer the interim coach. They're going to name a permanent coach, and I'm sure he is in the mix depending on what happens. But, you know, he's been a first-class act to deal with, and I'm sure tonight was a really exciting night for him.
Yeah, talk about guys you feel good for. Matt Luke, top of the list. He's, if he doesn't get the job, he's going to go 6-6 in a year where that was pretty impressive, given everything they had to deal with, and frankly, an eyelash from 8-4 when you really think about it. So he's at the top of the list. He potentially finishes his Ole Miss coaching career, even at least to this point. 6-6, 1-0 in the Egg Bowl, not bad at all. No. Also, senior running back Jordan Wilkins goes over 1,000 yards for the season. First Ole Miss running back to do that since 2009 when Dexter did it. Wilkins tonight, a couple huge runs, including a 46-yarder, had a touchdown there to break it at one point, and 14 rushes, 110 yards, and two touchdowns for Jordan Wilkins. Again, going over the 1,000-yard mark, A.J. Brown, 6 catches, 167 yards, a touchdown, including a 77-yarder. He owns the school record for most receiving yards in a season. He holds the school record for most receiving yards in a game. He's right there pretty close in touchdowns as well as they wrap up. So he probably also won the Connerly Award tonight, even though we don't put a lot of emphasis on that here on this podcast or with the site. Number one player in Mississippi, it was probably between he and Nick Fitzgerald. AJ with the school records and his night tonight and Ole Miss getting the win, probably elevates him in that regard too. So those are the ones that kind of stick out at the top of my mind as guys. And on the defensive side, another big time night. He was banged up there at the end, but DeMarcus Gates finishing off really one hell of a season.
You know, you touched on a lot of it. Yeah, DeMarcus had a huge year. You can't be happy, and you can't be happy enough for Jordan Wilkins after all the snafu last year and stuff. Lost a year of eligibility and came back and never really said anything. I'd have been pissed off, and I'm sure he was. And then for AJ, had a huge year. Jordan Tamu had a really big year, especially when you consider where he was at the beginning of the year. I'm sure thinking, hey, I'm really not going to play much. If you remember at the beginning of the year, Ole Miss was blowing teams out, and they were staying with Shea deep into the fourth quarter. So, yeah, you can't help but be happy for some of those guys. I mean, this season, you know, you're right, Chase, in saying this could easily have been an 8-4 season. But a lesser group could have thrown this puppy in.
We've seen that before.
Yeah. Well, you see it a lot. You see it at Tennessee right now. You see it at Florida.
Yeah.
It happens. I'm not criticizing at Arkansas. I'm not criticizing those kids, but it's just when you're not playing for the stuff that you typically play for, it's easy to go, ah, screw it. And they didn't. It's to their everlasting credit that they didn't.
No, Matt Luke in this roster proved Ross Bjork correct when he sat on that podium with Jeffrey Vitter, I guess July 20th, whatever day it was that all the stuff with Freeze came out that night, and they named Matt the interim head coach, and they said that Matt's experience, his personal dealings with a similar situation, that he was the best man to hold the team together, to keep them playing hard, and to not, as you said, kind of roll over for 12 games. And I'm sure Ross that night, there's no doubt he was pissed off, probably a little embarrassed he had to get up there on national television and do that, but said the right things about Matt, and Matt ended up proving him to be correct as they wrapped this thing up. Again, now everything shifts forward as they have to get another staff in place, name a permanent staff with Ole Miss, a hot board up at rebelgrove.com. We put it into tiers is what we did this time. Instead of being alphabetical order, we've added names, we've subtracted names, and it's in tiers, Neil. I'll let you kind of explain this, mostly of how we expect the race to go.
Yeah, look, it's not necessarily in here's choice one, here's choice two, here's choice seven, but all of our reporting points us right now towards Willie Taggart as the guy that if Ole Miss, if Ross Bjork could get his man, that's his man. That's who he wants. The next tier, we believe, is Dave Doran at NC State, Mike Bobo at Colorado State, probably Mike Norvell at Memphis. People say, where's Matt Luke fit in? That's a really good question, and I don't know the answer. My guess, honestly, is somewhere at the very top of tier three.
Matt, if we had slotted him, that's where we were putting him.
Yeah. He'll be interviewed. We're going to wait and see if that interview is a formality or if it's real. Is it an interview of, hey, we really appreciate all you did, we're going to move in a new direction? Or is it an interview of, you know, you changed, you turned our heads? In some ways, Matt Luke's the easy hire. In some ways, Matt Luke's the really risky hire. The emotion that carried with him can't keep going. That won't last year after year after year after year. You have to ask, is he the right guy? And I don't know the answer to that. He was the right guy for the interim deal, clearly.
For the situation, no doubt.
But the situation changes now. It's no longer about Hugh Freeze and escort services and massage parlors and this playing in a bowl band deal. It's a different deal. How do the sanctions impact that? I think you and I, as we sit here tonight, don't expect a second bowl band. Lost in this? This team's going to a bowl game if there's no bowl ban. This team's going to Nashville or
Memphis or somewhere.
Somewhere. probably Memphis. Memphis always wants Ole Miss. This would have been the opportune time to get them. So there is loss there. There's another penalty there. The bowl ban is now, I know people say it doesn't work like this, and I know it doesn't technically.
But in it's real. There's a loss.
But in a real world, there's a loss. You lose the 15 practices. Not that you really need them with the banged up team. But you lose a bowl trip. The kids don't get the bowl gifts. They don't get to go play whoever the hell it is that you play at the Liberty Bowl. They don't get that experience. There is a loss. There is a penalty. So you're right, and we wrote about this. It totally shifts forward now. Sanctions, I think most everyone involved in the case expects sanctions next week. If they don't come next week, I think some people are going to start saying, what the hell? And then after that, he's got to get a hire done. We heard, whether this is right or not, I don't know. We heard it from some pretty good people that Ross really wanted to get a head coach in place by next Saturday. Is that realistic? I don't know. I have no idea. Let me tell you one thing as we go forward into this coaching search. You're going to hear a lot of people with sources. Got a source. Most of those sources are every bit as reliable as the COI sources. I'll give my life advice in the wake of no news, people will create rumors to fill the void that happens every time. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. If you're Matt Luke, you have a decision to make. Do you wait on this? How long do you wait on Ole Miss? If South Alabama, for example, opened up and offered Matt Luke, does he take it or does he wait?
It's a good question.
It's a good question. If I'm him, I take it.
Do you believe that tonight, not how the game went, but just losing it, losing four of the last six, losing even with Ole Miss dealing with all the NCAA stuff, losing some momentum the way they did, do you think this impacts Dan Mullen's decision with what his career looks like moving forward?
If you're Dan Mullen right now, if the Tennessee offer's there, and you don't take it, there's a real risk that you regret that down the road. I saw where Dan Wilkin, who's pretty tied into Mississippi State these days, said he expects that he'll take it. I do too. I just realized that I rambled my way through not answering your question. We've got Taggart in Tier 1. Tier 2 is kind of that next guy's. Tier 3 is probably about as far as they get, frankly. We've got a Tier 4 of some names. We've got some wild cards that we've heard about. I don't honestly believe that Ross Bjork would hire Lane Kiffin, for example. But of all the names on there, one of the most intriguing names is Kiffin. But back to talking about Mullen. You know, if you're in his spot and you have to ask yourself, if you're Dan Mullen, what is two things? What is it that you want to do? What is your goal? And most guys in his spot want to win big. They want to see if what they do works at the highest level. I don't mean this as an insult at Mississippi State, but I think there's a ceiling there. It's very hard. And it's a tough job at Tennessee. That's been proven. It's been proven for 20 years now, but there are more resources there.
Yeah, analyst things, off-the-field stuff, a lot of different ways. So
I expect him, if he gets the job offer from Tennessee, to take it. I think if Dan Mullen's back at Mississippi State next year, it's going to be because, frankly, no one offered him the job.
A lot to read, a lot to watch at RebelGrove.com as we bring you coverage from Ole Miss's 31-28 win over Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl again. Ending Ole Miss's season at 6-6. The Bulldogs end their regular season, I believe, at 8-4, if I have that right.
Eight and four.
They will go bowling, but this is one that's going to sting the Bulldogs for a while.
They are an unattractive bowl team now, with Fitzgerald gone, potentially Mullen gone.
And this loss.
And I don't mean that as an insult to them. It's just part of the deal. But yeah, they are not an attractive team in the bowls.
Yeah, so Hope everybody have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. I assume most of our listeners, except for our number 8 market, is pretty excited with tonight's results. Again, we'll come back with a normal schedule on Monday. So thanks to all you guys, really, as it's the holiday season. Thanks to our advertisers for sticking with us through everything. Again, we'll get back to all of them on Monday, and all of you guys for making this possible, listening every day, making it a part of your daily routine. So again, Ole Miss 31, Mississippi State 28 does it for Neil and myself, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.